As I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain. But that's just perfect.
All right. That's a good start of music, right, Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah. Weird Al. Get a little Weird Al going here and get us in the mood for the fishing report.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how you start an area fishing report right there, is with some little bit of Weird Al going on there.
Yeah, pretty white and nerdy.
Yeah, well, it's all the music I could find. That's literally all I have on my phone is Weird Al and
figured something else out. And
hardcore gangsta rap. That's all that's there.
Oh, yeah.
So I looked.
That is hardcore gangsta rap right there.
No, it's Weird Al and hardcore gangsta rap. That's all that I've got. So I figured, yeah, Weird Al is probably the better choice.
Suicidal tendencies.
Given what we've got. Nope, none of that. None of that's in there. Hey, it's the Area Fishing Report featuring Captain Josh Olive over here making trouble for the man who's trying to do the Area Fishing Report, which would, of course, be the one and only Robert Lukowitz, the manager right here at Fish and Frank's. We are seated in world headquarters of Fish and Frank. It is approximately 2 o'clock in the afternoon, April the 14th, 2022, and we're going to now make an attempt to tell you what's going on in the Charlotte Harbor area. We are going to start at the Peace River. We are going to move our way around and out and then back in and up. That's how we do it, right?
Yep.
So it's all the way around the map, seeing what's happening, seeing what's going on, and we'll try not to make any of it up as we go. We are going to go ahead and kick this thing off now, ready to get started. Robert looks like he's comfortable, properly ensconced in his chair, and ready to go. So when I ask him how the fishing has been on the Peace River in the Harbor Heights area and upriver along with Shell Creek, I'm sure that he'll be ready to respond. Robert?
Nothing.
You got nothing.
I got nothing.
Okay.
I guess way up the river, a few guys of the local community of Arcadia have been finding a few snook, but other than that, that's all I've heard.
Way up in Arcadia.
Way up.
Okay.
But, you know, we're going into that time of year, and it's going to do nothing but get slower up there. With the exception of if it floods real good.
If it floods. You mean when it floods?
Yeah.
It will flood.
Sometime in September.
If we get rain, it'll flood.
Sometime in September.
Okay. Well, then I guess we better continue on down current, heading in towards Darce Park Boat Ramp and the I-75 Bridges boat-only access here.
Same thing. Pretty slow. A couple of little peanut snook there, but that was it. That's the only one report I got. It's been a little trying lately.
How big would you define a peanut snook?
Under 20 inches.
That's pretty small.
It's pretty small.
Okay.
It's like the ones behind the house. SM all. Small.
SM all. All right. How about the 41 Bridges Power Pole Park area?
Well, let's see. They've been catching a few snook there at night. A couple of tarpon. Still getting a few cobia. And then there has been an incidental trout and a few small snapper, but hit or miss, extremely hit or miss.
For the snapper and the trout, or for everything?
Yeah, for all of it. You'll go 3 or 4 days and no reports, and then all of a sudden gangbusters, and then nothing again. And I think that has to do with a lot of the bait fish that have been cruising back and forth through there. Because those fish are there a lot, they just don't always cooperate. But now that the car traffic's slowing down, it is starting to pick up just a hair at night.
But you still have to have a little luck.
Yeah, absolutely. And patience.
I can dig that. Lashley Pier.
I got pretty much a couple trout and a couple snapper. That's it. One guy did hook what he thought was a cobia, but he couldn't see it well enough because it went underneath the dock while he was fighting it.
Ah.
So.
That's kind of the end of that.
Yeah.
How
about, it was surprising that it got away and it didn't start off with it. It was exactly 38 inches.
Yeah. Okay. How about the Bayshore Piers?
I've got nothing there at all. I think that's due to all the wind activity that we've been having lately. Making it a little tricky.
Okie dokie. So far, this is going very quickly.
Yeah.
Moving into the Port Charlotte canals, saltwater and brackish specifically.
Oh, let's see. A lot of little snook. been some juvenile tarpon sporadically through the whole thing. It just depends on which canal they want to be in that particular moment. I've heard a couple reports of some jacks up off the Pelham Waterway and the Manchester Waterway. And then there's also been a lot of kids around because I'm not sure why, but they've been coming in and talking about all the little Mayan cichlids they've been catching way back there in the very far back, like the Countryman Waterway, I guess that is.
Okay. But it's a lot of them?
A lot of them. Yeah. Yeah. Little kid and his grandpa, they've been eating them and having a good time, but he said his grandpa filled them in on it, numbers that they were up to like 40 that week.
Nice.
Yeah. So, pretty good stuff.
Any tilapia being caught in there also, or just Mayans?
Just Mayans that I saw in his pictures, but most everyone's telling me about the Mayans more than anything.
I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's slide over to the El Jabin Pier and boat ramp.
Well, let's see, juvenile tarpon and snook at night. Daytime has had a couple of black drum, a couple snapper, a few sheep's head. But relatively quiet this year for what it should be under most normal situations. You know, I don't know what to attribute that to, but El Jobin never really got on fire this year. Literally.
Well, literally, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it has literally caught fire out there before.
Several times.
That's a small problem.
Several times over the last 25 years.
But you don't want it to be literally on fire. You want it to be figuratively on fire, and it's not that.
Right.
Okay. All right. How about the mouth of the Myakka area, the cutoff, Cattle Dock Point, Tippecanoe, 14-foot hole?
Cattle Dock Point and the Myakka Cutoff have been having a few redfish and a few snook.
Is the dredging messing things up over there?
I don't know, but they've just said they've been catching a few snook and a few redfish over on both sides. I wouldn't say that it's hot and heavy, so what are they dredging the canal going into the lock there?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that can sometimes make it good over there at times. At least the outer edges of it, if you're down current or, you know, it pushes out some of those little crustaceans and worms and all that good crap.
Okay. Now, if you're fishing up in this area, are you using shrimp or are you using bait fish? What's your preference?
Shrimp, definitely. Bait fish if you can find it. Find those ribbons.
Okay. Bait fish will work if available.
Don't get sidetracked on me because I need to finish that today.
You know, sometimes when you're at World Headquarters, Robert's attention gets diverted for a moment. That's okay. He's a very busy man. You're lucky he has time to do this fishing report at all.
Yep. Especially being shorthanded.
Yep. Okay, moving into the South Gulf Cove Canals, Butterford Ramp, and South Gulf Cove Park.
Some Mayan cichlids and some tilapia. That's all I've heard about, besides guys trying to figure out how to catch the snook off of their lights, but have not succeeded. Which is normal. You know, they all try too hard to fish those lights with too big of lures, and let's just cast right in the middle of it. That's where all the fish are at.
Yeah. It works great if you're snagging them.
Uh-huh.
Except the light, and they see that, so...
Even that's debatable.
Yeah. I guess if you're throwing firecrackers at them, that might work.
It might.
But, I mean, you
sometimes
and I know...
Sometimes that's worth a try.
...that most of the snook that are sitting on those lights are not actually feeding. They're just kind of hanging out there, and where you see fish feeding is usually a little further away from the light.
Right.
So you've got to fish that area and try to fish with something as small as possible. If you fly fished back home and you've got your fly rod stashed, break it out. Let's see if we can catch one of those snook on a little... inch and a half, almost anything, really, as long as it sinks and doesn't float.
Right. So,
but look at what they're eating. They're eating little tiny, tiny bait fish over there. So if you're trying to match the hatch by throwing a 4-inch plug at them, it just ain't doing it. Plus, it makes too much of a ruckus.
It does.
You need something little, something that moves like it's alive.
Right.
Something that you can move relatively slow.
Yes,
definitely. That's how to make it happen.
Yes, it is.
Now, I have talked to one person who lives over in PGI who says that he has success with a drop shot rig.
Okay.
But what he does is he puts it on the bottom and he leaves it sitting there. And then when he goes down to fish, the fish are already accustomed to his presence because he's down there on his dock all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's literally got the bait sitting down there on the bottom. It's a soft plastic. And he just picks up the rod and starts bouncing it around.
Okay.
And he said then he sometimes gets him to eat that.
Right.
So I could see that.
Yeah, I could see that. I could also see a black drum coming by and just picking it up and swimming away with his whole rod.
Yeah. Yep.
That would do it. I put it to a real quick end.
Yeah, well, if you're using a natural bait, you know, if you're using an unscented soft plastic, then I could think they might leave it alone. I don't think they're going to eat a piece of plastic just laying there on the bottom, but I'd want to make sure it's not scented.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Okay. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Headed to the west wall of the creeks. Blowdown Creek, Oyster Creek, Trout Creek.
Lots of snook. Quite a few redfish.
Mixed sizes on these fish?
Yeah. Most of them were on the smaller size. But just a scattered amounts of them all the way down.
Isn't it pretty much always true that most of them are going to be smaller ones?
Yeah. For the most part. They're catching them on spoons and topwaters, both. And then there also has been a few cobia on top of the bar. A few Spanish mackerel. And some bonnet heads. So kind of a mixed barrage, you know, if nothing's happening along the bushes, go out and drift those flats because you got a good shot at a cobia.
That's not a bad thing.
No, not bad at all. Then, of course, there's been some schools of stingrays along there, too, so I think that's what's keeping those cobia and the Spanish mackerel around because they're disturbing that bottom. And
stingrays or cow nose rays?
No, they're cow nose rays, but they're stacked so deep and they're chasing each other because of the breeding season, but they're only in like 4 to 6 feet of water, so they're mudding it up pretty good. Guy was showing me some pictures of it, and he panned back and took a picture, and you could see like where it was just muddy, and he didn't know what it was until he got right up on top of it, and it was all cow nose rays.
That's cool.
Yeah. And I've seen that out in the middle of the harbor in the holes before where it looks like mud streaks going down the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all cow nose rays with bull sharks mixed in with it with Spanish.
Oh.
Yeah, it was exciting.
Yeah, I bet.
The couple Spanish we hooked got bit off and we're like, okay, let's put this on. Hey, we got a shark. Hey, we got another shark. We ended up getting like 6 or 7 bull sharks that day.
Mm, fun times.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're a cow nose ray.
Yeah.
Okay, sliding to Cape Hayes and Muddy Bay.
Let's see, Cape Hayes, bonnethead sharks, Spanish mackerel, couple of black tips, what appear to be black tips anyway. Got a few ladyfish. What else did I hear about over there? Yeah, that's pretty much about what I've heard over there.
Okay. Black tips. I wrote black tops for some reason.
That's all right. That makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Sure it does.
It really doesn't. Okay. And ladyfish, which I left out. Okay, we'll add that back in. Anything in the shallows up there? Is that mostly on the drop-offs, or?
It's all most on the drop-offs for the most part. I haven't heard anything up inside Muddy Bay. I would assume that there's a bunch of little peanut snook up in there because this is the time of year when they're migrating down. And they jump in and out of there.
Okay. We'll say that it should have.
Should have.
Not that it do have.
No, do have doesn't make much sense.
Okay. We are continuing to head towards the intercoastal, and we're coming across Turtle Bay, Gallagher's Cut, Bull Bay.
Well, there's been a lot of snook, quite a few redfish, an assortment of sharks, a few ladyfish, a couple of trout. One guy actually caught some Spanish mackerel back by that shack in Turtle Bay. Which was not too weird, but definitely a little unusual.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a big enough open body of water, they'll move in and out of there. It's just you don't hear of it very often back in there.
Well, it's a big body, but it's a shallow body, too.
Right.
So, maybe you got lost.
Might have.
I mean, you know how it gets. You're following bait fish, and the tide's moving one way, and then next thing you know, you find yourself in a foot and a half of water.
Yeah.
Just how it be.
Yeah, there's food. Let's chase it.
Yep. Still using shrimp in here, or are you changing over to more bait fish?
Some guys are using the white bait. Some guys are using shrimp. Kind of a mixed variety, and then a lot of guys are just throwing paddle tails and some topwaters through there. Got one customer that's been buying a lot of topwaters lately.
Yeah?
Yeah. He keeps taking his buddies out and having them squirrel fish, but he said about 25% of them are so far in the bushes he can't get them out.
Yeah. Now, with the water out here being relatively clear, are you changing your colors around? Are we going to white? Are we going to brighter colors? What are you using for a color suggestion?
White and chrome would be my first choice. You know, like a bone color or white.
Not so much with the gold?
It varies, but I mean, the silver and the white are going to be my two choices, but I don't have a lot of faith in colors on topwaters. I just kind of use what I kind of have. The only one I have absolutely zero faith in is that black with the yellow head.
No.
But so many people do good on those. It's crazy, but I just can't catch anything on them personally.
Gotcha.
Just one of those weird colors.
Okay. Moving to the south out towards open water, Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef.
Lots of Spanish mackerel. Spanish mackerel have definitely been the main thing. There's been a few cobia caught off down there, but mostly small guys. One guy did hook a couple of oddball sharks. He got one bull shark that was about 5 foot. Another one, which he called a spinner shark, because it launched three times in the air corkscrewing. So obviously it's always a spinner. Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a black tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than likely. So, but overall, not too bad. Just the bottom fishing there's a drag. There's not much for snapper or undersized gags going on. It's all been just kind of slow trolling around that area, picking them up that way.
Okay. Bottom fishing is a drag.
Yep.
Okay.
Would be better if it was a drag on the reel, but no, it's just a drag.
No, just a drag. Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flats.
Well, the closer you get to the intercoastal in that 4 to 6 feet of water is where the Spanish ladyfish and a few trout have been. Getting up onto the flats, you're finding some snook, some redfish, been a few sheep set around some of those
oyster
bars.
Slow down, would you?
Jeez,
you know I'm trying to type this, right?
I know, but you type really, really quick usually, so. Yeah.
I got hung up on ICW. I forgot how to spell it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that. Coming from the genius educated speller over here.
Okay. I literally got to 4 to 6 feet of water. Now.
4 to 6 feet of water.
Take me up into the shallower part.
Okay. So there have been snook and redfish up in the shallows, up, especially up close to the bushes. But there's still been a few hopscotch trout and sheep's head around some of the oyster bars in there.
Still sheepies, huh?
Mm-hmm. Been a few. I mean, not a ton, but there's been a few.
Well, there's always a few.
Right.
Okie dokie. Is there anything else that we should add to this?
No, I think that's about it for
now. Since this seems like the best spot we've had so far, is this the best spot we're going to have, or?
As far as most consistent reports, that's what I've had.
Okay.
It's not that it's necessarily the best thing. It's just been with all the wind this last week and everything else. Reports have been tough to come by with any reliability. I've had a few that were complete, like, I don't think you went out last Wednesday out 25 miles offshore.
Yeah, they forgot to take a look at what the weather was on the day that they were supposed to have gone out, but they got the fishing story anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's always,
I see it. Yeah, it happens.
It does. And he might have been confused from what he did last year at that date, but whatever.
Sometimes it's hard.
It is.
Very difficult. Didn't mean to lie to you. I just did. Yeah. Okay. Placida, to include the pier, the trestle, the Coral Creek Pier, and, of course, Gasparilla Pass.
Been some pompano, Spanish mackerel, some sheep's head. Been a few whiting caught off of the Placida trestle. What else has been going on out there? A few snook, oddball redfish at night. And that's about it that I can think of.
Okay. How have the dolphins been out there? You had any reports of those?
Oh, they're just terrible. They aren't going to get any better. It's literally going to take taking them out of there when they're sick from inhaling hooks and all that other junk. That's about the only thing. I think that's about the only fix for them.
Unfortunately, that's not a fix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's getting worse as they keep training their young ones.
No, it's getting a lot worse.
Yeah, you know, this is what we do. This is how we make it happen.
It's getting a whole lot worse. It's pretty lousy. What can you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to be talking about that, though, with our new Sea Grant agent, about what we can do about dolphins and making her as aware as she can be of what the problem is.
Right. I think it's like a mullet is part of it.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of pieces that go into that puzzle. I mean, most puzzles work that way. So there's never just one reason for a problem. It's like the lack of seagrass. There's not one reason. I mean, yeah, we have nitrogen pollution, but we have other problems going on too. And if it's just one thing, usually that one thing is not enough to cause a real problem. But you get multiple things together, and now you got a real trouble going on.
Right.
I don't know. We should talk about that some other time.
Okay.
When we're not in the middle of an area fishing report like we are right now.
You come up with a column for that, probably.
Mm-hmm. All right, take me north into Lemon Bay.
Honestly, I have not gotten a report up there this year, or
uh-oh,
this week.
Uh-oh.
I've got nothing this week at all. Not even a tidbit. So, yeah, unfortunately,
no,
that is a big
tidbit.
Zero.
Well, that's
nothing.
It's
not
supposed
to
be. Okay. So, call the shop with your reports.
Right.
And I'm even going to put the number right here.
Oh, there you go.
There's no reason to not have it. And I'm going to try this time to remember to put the shop number and not your cell phone.
That would be a nice thing to do.
Listen, it's not that I want to put your cell phone number out there. It's just I dial that a lot more than I do the shop.
Right.
Sorry. Okay.
I get it.
So if you haven't heard anything from Lemon Bay, you probably don't have anything for the Anger Pier.
Nope. Nope.
Kee-dookie. I will just copy this previous report.
I know that there have been a lot of people heading out to the beach out there, but even that's been sporadic reports.
I will paste it right there. Okay, speaking of the beach and heading north, Venice Jetty's Sharky's Pier.
Spanish mackerel. Spanish mackerel. And a couple sheep's head at the jetties. Other than that, that's all I've heard has been Spanish. I take that back. One guy did catch a shark up there.
Okay. One shark.
Mm-hmm.
In all of Venice.
Yeah.
Okay. I might not even write that down.
Probably not.
Okay.
That's why they should listen to it, so they get a better idea on everything.
But we have lots of mackerel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're eating spoons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spoons and little bucktails.
Little bucktails.
Yeah. Seems to be just fine.
That sounds fantastic. All right, take us out into the big briny Gulf of Mexico, bottom fishing and trolling the reefs and the wrecks. Big game fishing out there. What's been going on, Robert? How's it been?
Okay. Problem is, it's been too windy.
Yeah. It's been a lot windy.
Got one guy that made it out 21 miles. Got the snot beat out of them, but he said it did lay down long enough for them to catch a couple of short red grouper, but caught a couple nice mangs and some lanes, and then they turned around and came back in because the wind started to pick back up. Other than that, everything's close. You know, grunts, sheep's head, not grunts, a few porgies, sheep's head, a couple mangrove snapper, and a couple lane snapper inside of 10 miles. And then the barracuda are starting to show up out there on the reefs, too. Even though the Gulf temperature dropped like 5 degrees last week with all that wind and the little minor cold front that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Which we need that. That's always a good thing to have that water temp drop back down a little bit.
Yep.
Especially since it's been too darn hot this year.
It has. Too hot, too quick.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Time for the passes, and we will start with Punarassa.
Spanish mackerel.
Spanish mackerel.
That's all I've gotten reports of. Basically, along that whole, all those passes down there, because a couple guys have been looking for tarpon, and they're finding plenty of Spanish mackerel.
Now, when we say plenty, we're talking about it's definitely we're going to go with the idea of catching Spanish mackerel, and there's a better than 50-50 shot if we know what we're doing, we're catching?
Yep.
Okay.
But nothing's guaranteed.
Well, nothing's ever guaranteed. That's why I said better than 50-50.
Yes.
I mean, if you want a guarantee, then buy some insurance, I guess.
Right.
And hope they pay out, because that's not guaranteed either.
Right. Exactly.
But not the tarpon, huh?
No. A couple guys are seeing them up a little bit further north.
But tight-lipped. That's what we'll call it.
Right.
Tarpon are around, but tight-lipped. Okay. Right. Now I can just copy-paste this report then, right? The other passes?
No, because Boca's got a lot more fish in it as far as tarpon goes.
Okay, so I can paste it into redfish pass?
Sure.
Paste. And Captiva pass?
Yep.
Paste. Okay. And that brings us to Boca.
Boca's had Spanish mackerel. One kingfish caught there. Another person said they... pretty sure they saw one free jump out there just outside the pass. Been a few mangrove snapper, definitely some sheep's head, and there's been tarpon in and out of there for the past, I don't know, 2 weeks. But there again, it's hit or miss, but they've been there. They've been on the hill, they've been down inside, they've been out on the pan, they were kind of moving out in and out throughout that whole area. And then there also has been some bigger sharks moving through there, too. A couple guys have been getting some bull sharks, one lemon shark, sighting of a couple of hammerheads out there. Kind of a mixed barrage of stuff. Starting to do that.
I love big shark season.
Yeah.
I don't really love hooking big sharks, but I just love to see them out there on the water. It's just awesome.
Yeah, I'm starting to get to that point where it's more awesome to see them than it is to try to fight them.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting too old.
Too old. So
that's why, I was telling everybody 20 years ago, I'm going to fight them now while I can because I can do it. But when I'm 50, 60, if I live to be 70, I'll fish for smaller ones and they'll feel like those bigger ones that I once used to be able to do.
Do you also sometimes find that music is too loud?
What music?
Any music?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, well, then you're not that old yet.
No. You know you're old when you turn the music down to try to read street signs.
Okay.
Yep. That's when you know you're starting to get old.
Have any more jokes for us?
No.
You want to continue with the fishing reports?
Yeah.
Okay. Then
you started it.
Did I?
You did.
I didn't mean to. I apologize. Let's move up to Matt Lachey Pass.
Okay.
You know, this is actually out of order.
It is what it is.
I'm going to have to fix that one of these days.
One of these days.
I'm not worried about it right now. Matt Lachey Pass.
Good Pink
Indian
Floyd song.
Fields, Smokehouse Bay.
There's been some redfish and snook down in there. Lots of thread fins. Been a few tarpon. I've heard of a couple of cobia down in that area, too.
But not like... we're going to go tarpon fishing and cobia fishing, and we're going to go to Matt Lachey Pass because that's
nope.
Where they are?
Just pleasant bycatch. Just pleasant bycatch, that's all.
Okay. And what about the Spanish? Are they in here, too?
Yeah, there's been a few down in there, too. And Flipper's been chasing those thread fins all over the place, too, so you got plenty of sightseeing, too. That's the place where you want to guarantee yourself seeing Flipper. That's where I would go. It is what it is.
Well, I mean, hopefully they're there to eat the threadies. That's what they should be doing.
That's what they should be doing. But they are eating the threadies, but is it holding mackerel? No.
So they're eating the mackerel?
They're eating all of them, whatever they can get, but they seem to be chasing mostly the threadies, but you'll see them occasionally throwing one up in the air.
Okay. But you said holy mackerel, so they're not doing that, though?
Holy mackerel. No.
Okay. Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound has got a mixed barrage. You've got quite a few snook and redfish up along the bushes. Some trout out in that deeper water, in that 4 to 6 feet of water. We'll see how And then they've been seeing an assortment of sharks and a handful of tarpon and Spanish mackerel.
Okay, mostly in the deeper water, I'm assuming?
Most of it. But some of those Spanish mackerel and some of those tarpon have been real skinny, and then some of those sharks have been up there in that shallower water, too. It's the coolest part about this time of year. Water's so clear, you get to see a whole lot of stuff that you normally wouldn't think of, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Like, who expects to see a 3-foot tarpon or a 4-foot tarpon in 3 feet of water? Not very many, you know? It's kind of cool when you get to see all that stuff.
Yeah. And when it's so much shallower than you expected.
Right. It looks deep, but it's not.
Yep. That'll freak you out, too.
It looks shallow, but it's actually deeper. That's what I meant to say.
You see that 6-foot spotted eagle ray come cruising by.
Yeah.
It'll flip you out. Yeah. I mean, even if you think it's the most amazing thing in the world, it'll still freak you out a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because he's bigger than you really would have thought. I mean, a fish that is 6 feet wide is huge.
Right.
Then you think about what it must have been like to see manta rays that were 15 feet wide while you're out there in a little row-around boat.
Nope.
Crazy times, buddy.
Not for me.
Crazy times. Jug Creek Shoals and Boquilla.
Some bait, some trout, some Spanish mackerel. And then right there off of Boquilla, off that pier down there, they'd be getting a few snook and a few sheep's head. But that's really about what I've heard of right in that immediate area. There should be other stuff going on, but just haven't heard about anything yet.
Okay. Take me up to Burnt Store, Tupine.
Well, let's see. You got tarpon on the outside of the bar, sporadically, mostly in the mornings. Couple of sharks.
Now, when you say mostly in the morning, sporadically, does that mean that's when they're biting or that's when we're seeing them?
That's when you're seeing them. There is no time for them to bite. They just chew when they want to. They're tarpon.
I just want clarification. That's all I'm looking for.
I know. You're all about details.
Well, I just don't want somebody to say, well, Robert said they were biting out there in the morning, and then they're not. You know? Robert said they were there in the morning. He didn't say they were biting out there in the morning. Those are two separate things.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. What else you got?
A few snook up along the shoreline. Kind of mixed barrage.
Okay. We got any redfish with the snook?
No, I haven't heard of any redfish down there. I'm sure there is, but I just haven't heard.
I'm sure there's at least one redfish out there.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
But okay, should we move on to the next spot then?
Yes.
Okay, we're headed north up towards Pirate Harbor and the East Side Keys.
Just some snook, a few redfish, and a lot of bonnet heads. And the snook have been kind of tucked into the islands, with the redfish and the bonnet heads being more on the outer edges of the islands. They've also been seeing a few cobia cruising on top of the bar, along with a few tarpon scattered along it too. Not catching them, but definitely seeing them.
Okay.
Which is kind of par for the course.
Okay. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the Skating Rink.
Yeah, that's probably the slowest it's ever been. I haven't heard of anything. I got nothing this week up in there.
And that is uncharacteristically slow.
Yes.
Can it spell uncharacteristically?
I don't know.
I'm having a hard enough time with it for some reason.
C-H.
There. No, I got it. Even without your help.
Okay.
But literally not catching anything?
Okay.
Nothing being caught here at all?
Nope.
Okay. That is uncharacteristically slow.
Yeah.
Okay. How about Ponce Park?
A few jacks, some small mangrove snapper, a couple guys hooking some sharks. But, yeah, overall, eh.
overall meh.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what you said.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hope for better in the Punta Gorda Isles canals.
That's mostly been snook. Couple juvenile tarpon.
Lots of snook, a bunch of snook, a handful of snook, a few
fair
snook.
Number. The moon's getting full this week. It should be, when is it? It should be tonight or tomorrow night, I believe.
Is it that soon?
Not 100%, but I think
so. I saw it was bright out there, but I forgot to look up.
Yeah, I forgot to look it up, too.
No, I forgot to look up to see what the moon looked like.
Oh.
I just...
Usually looks like a round thing that's bright.
Well, when it's getting to full, it looks round. When it's not full, it kind of has a different shape, more like, well, it goes from a crescent to kind of like a bean. So.
Is that what it is?
And I neglected to look. Well, it's hard to describe the shape of an anti-crescent.
Okay.
Other than to say perhaps bean-shaped.
Right.
You know? I think that's about as close as I'm going to get.
Okay. Well, I guess I can see that.
All right, so we have fair numbers of snook and...
Jacks. Couple of baby tarpon. And then there's also been some mangrove snapper and black drum.
Did you see the mangrove snapper picture that I ran in waterline this week?
No.
Guy caught one like 18 inches in one of the canals.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, let it go.
Yeah, I've heard of a few decent ones around like 15, 16 inches.
Mm-hmm. It's like, that's a darn big canal snapper.
Yeah, an 18-incher is a dandy. Mm-hmm. I've never caught one that big up in the canals.
Yeah, he said it weighed about 2.5 pounds.
That's pretty cool.
That's a monster.
Yes, it is.
Gilchrist Pier.
Zero, nothing, nada.
Zero, nothing, and also nada. Okay.
Exactly.
How about Alligator Creek Reef?
Been a few small cobia, Spanish mackerel. Those have been pretty much the main things they've been seeing and catching over there. The snapper bite has been eh. And then there's been a few sheep's head, but they've been eh. It's been weird out there with the bottom part of it. Seems like the pelagics are definitely doing better this year. I guess if you go down there and dive and gig or spear like some of these guys have been doing out there, they say it's amazing, but catching the fish, I think people just use way too heavy a tackle on those fish and spook them.
Well, they fish it like it's a reef in 50 feet of water.
Right.
And it's not. It's a reef in 11 feet of water, 12
right.
feet of water. It's not the same.
Right.
So, and this time of year, I mean, those fish can definitely see you up above them.
Oh, absolutely.
Pretty soon, you'll be able to see them down below you.
Yeah.
Which will make it cool, you know, going out there to be able to actually see the bottom and what it looks like. Because so often we kind of rely on what the bottom machine shows us, and it's challenging to interpret that. But when you can actually look at it, you know, you can make some much better assessments of where's going to be the good fishing spots versus
right.
where's going to be the ones that look like on the bottom machine they might be good but ain't.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you happen to be in that area, keep an eye out literally over the side to see what you can see down there. And once you can see the bottom, then yeah, start to do some exploration. Deep holes in Charlotte Harbor, a.k.a. the 20-foot holes. The 20-foot bowls.
The bowls.
The bowls.
There's been some tarpon out there. Not a lot, but a few. Been a few sharks out there. Not a lot, but getting warmed up. Same way with the cobia, and then some Spanish mackerel. It's not setting the world on fire out there yet, but it's starting to ramp up. It's going to get there, theoretically. Especially
no
with all the little... Well, there's a lot of little bait out there. There's been some small, like fry slash glass minnows. There's been some small thread fins out there. So it's starting to ramp up. It's just not quite there yet.
Okay. Not there yet.
Getting there, though.
Alrighty, the freshwater canals, creeks, ponds, and lakes.
Got a lot of guys buying shiners. You know, they've been doing good on bass, but most of them have been in that, like, 2 to 3 pound range. I haven't heard of a lot of big fish. And then, of course, guys are catching tilapia, Mayan cichlids left and right. They're catching them on worms and little beetle spins and little inline spinners like the Shyster or the Roadrunner, whichever one, or Meps.
Good old yeah. Meps.
Just little inline. Inline stuff more than anything else.
And you don't need the one with the plastic fish on it either.
No. No, you don't.
And if you have a whole box full of those from when you used to trout fish up north, now's the time.
Right. That is true.
And if you don't burn through them all while you're trying to catch the cichlids out there, then definitely don't take them out on the grass flats and try to catch trout with them, because it doesn't work.
Right.
Under no circumstances do I want to see anybody throwing an inline spinner out there on the grass flats.
No.
I repeat, it does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely doesn't.
Sure.
Okay. Tarpon reports.
Neither does a wacky worm.
No, stop. Quit.
Oh. No, what? Tarpon
cut,
what?
Cut that out. Tarpon reports, where are they? Where are they eating? Okay, where are we most likely to go and catch a tarpon?
If I were going to do it over the next couple days, it'd be on the around the passes, either Boca Pass or Captiva Pass, and just on the inside of the intercoastal between those two passes. Got this full moon coming up. Those fish are going to stack up out that area. I think they're going to feed on those really strong flooding tides.
Okay.
And I would be using shrimp for my first choice in bait. Squirrel fish.
Now, you want a tide that's incoming or outgoing?
Depends on which way the wind's blowing. I want to go with the wind and the tide. It doesn't really matter. I mean, the outgoing tide, I think, is going to be better for feed for the fish that are out there. But I have no idea. They just, I mean, they're just here and starting to show up, so it's not in any pattern yet. So I can't say that one way or the other is better.
Well, of course not, but you do have a little bit of experience in this regard, which is why you're the man sitting there doing the fishing report.
I would prefer the outgoing tide if I had my choice. That's what I think. Especially if it's an afternoon going into evening outgoing tide.
Okay, so, and you're going to fish with live shrimp.
Yep.
Now, failing that, because we don't want to go all the way out there, that burns a lot of gas. I really would much rather find some tarpon that are a lot closer to home. What can you help me out with?
I can't.
aren't there any tarpon around the bridges? Aren't there any on the east wall? Come on.
They've been out there sporadically, but with this full moon, a lot of times those fish that are in the harbor run to the passes because they're trying to meet up with their friends and get excited about the up-and-coming spawn that takes place next month. This is usually the first big hurrah when a lot of migratory fish show up, usually around this moon. So it's too hard to say. My crystal ball does not work when it comes to that. Because I have 100 other names for tarpon.
Okay, yes, and none of them are anything we can share on this family-friendly radio show.
They are, but Disney might get mad at me.
Now, where have the tarpon been being caught lately?
There has been a couple caught at the 41 Bridge. I've heard of a couple jumped at Eljo Bean. But the majority are just people seeing them. They've been really working hard to try to hook any fish, but they haven't been cooperating real well. That's the joys of tarpon fishing, especially early tarpon season. At least as it goes later, you see a lot more fish and get a whole lot more aggravated because you're seeing so many.
Right.
Right now, you're not seeing as many and getting less frustrated because they just must not be here. At least you can make that excuse up.
But I get
in another month, when they're rolling around all over the place, you can just got no excuse other than, this sucks.
Well, if you need an excuse, just ask a charter captain.
Oh, yeah, they'll find
you. Because they have literally pocketfuls of excuses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they got to have them. Because when they're out there and they've got somebody paying them $800 to try to catch tarpon, and they're just watching tarpon roll all around them, I mean, you come up with some good excuses
yes,
in those kinds of circumstances.
Yes,
so.
You do.
All right. Well, that took us all the way to the end of the things that I have to type here. Is there anything that should be added to this report? How's fishing been in general? Is it what you'd expect for this time of year? Is it pretty good? Is it pretty lousy? Where are we at? What's your
feeling? I think it's decent. I don't think it's great by any stretch. I would expect it to be a little bit better, but it's been decent.
And decent is about as good as we can hope for, huh?
Exactly.
All right. You got any closing music for us?
Nope.
Nothing to wrap us up with?
Not a chance.
Okay, well then I guess we're going to have to go back to what we were doing before. I mean, it's kind of terrible that this is our only choice, but
it is.
Know, we just have to go with what we've got. So I think that's going to be about it for this. We will try to be back here. Stop doing that. We will try to be back here next week with another brand new Area Fishing Report for you. This has been Mr. Robert Lukowitz and, of course, Captain Josh Olive over here doing the best that we can to help you with catching some fish. Robert.
Hopefully we won't have to listen to Weird Al next week.
Well, I'll find something worse for you. You know I will.
Weird Al Amish Paradise.
Say goodnight, Robert.
Goodnight, Robert.